We are quite familiar with the text regarding John the Baptist, his nativity, his coming, and his purpose. The basis for our thoughts today are taken from Malachi, words we know well because the New Testament applies these words to John the Baptist, namely that a messenger will go ahead of the Lord and prepare his way. But if we limit ourselves to the New Testament's treatment of this text, in some ways it appears as if it may come out of the clear blue sky. All of a sudden, John appears on the scene. I am preparing the way for the Lord. The axe is laid at the root of the tree, and so forth. In one sense, you say, where did this come from? That's where it's really helpful to take a look at Malachi and specifically the context in which the Lord first uttered those words. But even to do that, we need to expand the text in Malachi a little bit, beginning with chapter 2, verse 17 and following. There it is recorded, "You have wearied the Lord with your words." How have we wearied him, you ask? By saying, "All who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them." Or, "Where is the God of justice?" It's interesting because here it begins with the Lord, in a sense, being tired, weary, having had it up to here with the whining, the murmuring, and the complaining of his people. But it's not just any ordinary murmuring or complaining or whining that is going on. It specifically has to do with a particular question or charge that a number of them were leveling, seemingly, against Yahweh himself. They raised the question of theodicy, the problem of evil, namely, if God is indeed all-powerful, if God is all-loving, and if God is a just God, why does evil persist? Why do the unrighteous prosper, whereas the chosen ones of God, are they not entitled to the prosperity that the evil seem to be enjoying? It's an age-old question, a perennial question that continues to be asked in our day, perhaps most famously by that book of Bishop Kushner, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? What I find fascinating is the response of the people of Israel. Unlike in our day, when the power of God is called into question, namely God's ability, his power to eliminate evil, to deal with evil, such as you have it in process theology and perhaps popular piety, they instead call into question the justice of God, maybe the righteousness of God. In doing so, they turn on its ear a number of Old Testament statements where you may recall how God says evil is an abomination in his sight. Well, they turn that upside down and say, no, maybe evil is a pleasure in God's sight. Maybe he delights in it. Maybe he, in fact, enjoys it. And then in the next statement, raise the question, where is the God of justice? By itself, that statement would have been fairly innocuous, requiring a straightforward answer, but following on the heels of, well, maybe God enjoys evil, maybe he takes pleasure in it, the statement, where is a God of justice, in fact, calls into question God's status as God, as it calls into question God's justice. It's in response to that that Yahweh then says, I will send my messenger to prepare the way for me. And that suddenly the Lord will appear, not necessarily immediately, but suddenly, that is, unexpectedly, in order to execute judgment upon evil. That gets picked up furthermore in verse 5, which also, unfortunately, was not included in our text. I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless and deprive aliens of justice, but do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. In other words, he will come suddenly, unexpectedly, for judgment, prepared with the way having been prepared by his messenger. A judgment that may well include the whiners and the murmurers, inasmuch as they do not fear God and abide by their covenantal obligations. Well, now as we move into the New Testament, with the Malachi text ringing in our ears about how God is coming for judgment as the way is prepared by his messenger, John the Baptist does indeed appear upon the scene, announcing imminent judgment with the axe laid at the tree, the threshing floor ready for judgment. And then Jesus comes. And yet many don't see in Jesus one who has come to judge sinners as much as one who came as a friend of sinners. So in Malachi, it seems you have this expectation, or God is saying, I am coming for judgment. John announces it. Jesus comes. And particularly in Luke's gospel, we have a very loving, caring, friendly Jesus, friend of sinners. Well, on the other hand, maybe we need to look a little more deeply. Indeed, God did come unexpectedly and in an unexpected way. He did come for judgment. John the Baptist did prepare the way for that judgment, and it did take place, not perhaps as we expected, but it did take place in the suffering and death of Jesus. Their evil in all its forms was judged, put to death, and dealt with. Though hidden to our eyes, but visible through faith, God did indeed judge the sorcerers, the liars, the adulterers, all those who do not and did not fear the Lord. It is this judgment, though, that enables you and I to endure the misfortunes, to persevere in the midst of evil, even in our day, because we know that in Christ we have been judged, that as he came to judge, it wasn't just those outside of the community, but us as well. But in Christ we have been judged. Our sin has been condemned and dealt with. And for that reason, in Christ, we can also look forward to the final judgment of evil and the destruction and elimination of evil. Indeed, we can now even look upon the coming judgment of God as good news, because it is going to remove and deal with all that which afflicts God's people. And we can regard it as good news because we ourselves have passed out of it through faith in Christ's death and resurrection. And so we can pray and look forward to, come, Lord Jesus, come for judgment. And finally, once and for all, deliver us from evil. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.